following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 225, nice even number. Well, actually, it's an odd number. Recorded on Thursday, July 27th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Mr. Brad Ludwig.
Hello.
Coming up, why we should be looking for alien life, and is the alien movie franchise in trouble? Those stories, plus the sighting and our picks and warnings. Before all that, though, our question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
This is chosen by Mrs. Nelson.
Nice.
Do you think the first aliens that make contact with the Earth will be friendly or hostile?
Wow, that is a very good question, Stephanie Nelson.
Yeah, another reason why I married her. Great questions.
She's the brains behind the operation, isn't she?
She is.
That's okay. And this is the brains behind this operation, too. You know, if somebody is going to be dedicating resources to, let's say, long-distance exploration, I guess my hope is it's going to be something like, let's see what's going on and check things out. And maybe there's other folks out there. But the cynic in me is thinking that if you are running low on resources and you decide to just make a last ditch effort to just kind of, you know, try to grab resources from elsewhere, you just be brutal and take what you want.
Yeah, so that's desperation. That's the desperation angle right there, right?
Yeah. In my head, it's 50-50, really. But I would hope that it's peaceful. I really would.
What if they come in peaceful, like, hi, we're so-and-so from so-and-so, and we're just tooling around the galaxy, and we saw your little planet here, and we thought we'd swing by and say hi, and then, while we're here, we'd like this, 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 and this. Oh, you don't like that we're taking this, 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 and this. Well,
while we're here, we're taking all your stuff. Thanks, bye.
So, yeah.
Like a V scenario is what you're...
Yeah, sort of. And that would be the smart way to go about it if you were an alien species, right? You come in, the friendly people, and then turn around, you have
ulterior motives.
Ulterior motives, thank you. I think we're similar minds on this. I kind of agree with what your answer was.
My biggest fear is aliens would come peacefully, and there would be a horrible misunderstanding, and then it would get ugly. So, yeah.
In the news.
So I found this interesting story on the dailymail.co.uk. Experts say the hunt for ET beings helps educate society about science. Worst headline ever. The search for life elsewhere in the universe is one of the most compelling aspects of modern science. Given its scientific importance, significant resources are devoted to this young science of astrobiology, ranging from rovers on Mars to telescopic observations of planets orbiting other stars. The holy grail of all this activity would be the actual discovery of alien life, and such a discovery would likely have profound scientific and philosophical implications. But extraterrestrial life has not been discovered, and for all we know, may not even exist. Fortunately, even if alien life is never discovered, all is not lost. Simply searching for it will yield valuable benefits for society. Why is this the case, Dave Nelson? I'm glad you asked that. First, astrobiology is inherently multidisciplinary. There's a $5 word. To search for aliens requires a grasp of at least astronomy, biology, geology, and planetary science. Undergraduate courses in astrobiology need to cover elements of all of these different disciplines, and postgraduate and postdoctoral astrobiology researchers likewise need to be familiar with most or all of them. By forcing multiple scientific disciplines to interact, astrobiology is stimulating a partial reunification of the sciences. It is from this cross-fertilization of ideas, that's kind of gross, future discoveries may be expected, and such discoveries will comprise a permanent legacy of astrobiology, even if they do not include the discovery of alien life. It is also important to recognize that astrobiology is an incredibly open-ended endeavor. Searching for life in the universe takes us from extreme environments on Earth to the plains and subsurface of Mars, the icy satellites of the great planets, and on to the all but infinite variety of planets orbiting other stars. Beyond the more narrowly intellectual benefits of astrobiology are a range of wider societal benefits. These arise from the kinds of perspectives, cosmic in scale, that the study of astrobiology naturally promotes. Now, there's a lot more to this article, and there's going to be a link in the show notes for you to check out all the details on this Daily Mail story. But they raise a lot of good points. Microwaves and Velcro and Tang all came from, trying to get us to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And just the process of trying to do a thing, you realize that you don't quite have the tools or the understanding to do the thing. So you research and come up with a working theory or a solution. And just the point of going on that intellectual exercise can turn up massive benefits. So hear, hear.
It's a win, win, win.
Absolutely.
Space exploration is not the only discipline that benefits from byproducts. I think science overall, any scientific research, will have beneficial side effects.
Absolutely.
Similar to ones that you were talking about in this article. Basically, what I'm saying is we should have more smarty pants doing smarty pants things in the world.
Absolutely.
Because think about this. The universities who set up the first internet, or that was called, what was it called?
ARPANET.
ARPANET. They never imagined that we, like you and I, us schmucks, would be doing a podcast. They didn't even know what a podcast was.
Nope.
Using the backbone of their network to do all these wonderful and crazy things. Albeit, there are some pretty nasty things that the internet is being used for, but I think all the good things outweigh that. And that's just one example of the byproduct of scientific exploration. So, go to college, go to school, get those degrees, And you know what? Another beneficial side effect would be actually finding extraterrestrial life. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless.
Unless they come to take all of our stuff.
Yes.
You fleshy things are so adorable. We're taking your crap.
Yeah. Then all the degrees in the world wouldn't make a darn difference, right? Yeah, wouldn't make exactly. A lick of difference. How smart you are. Well, I guess we would need smart people to try to defeat the aliens that are trying to kill us.
Wah, wah.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number, Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
It's been a couple weeks since we last adjourned for an alien invasion. What has been going on, Brad? What have you been up to?
Wedding preparations.
Already?
Yeah.
Is there a box? Is there a box with things in it? Or a binder? I guess a binder, right?
There is a binder that is being generated as we speak.
So you're not doing it all digitally. It's
for now, like the initial, you know, checking everything out and kind of sorting and visualizing. But I think after that, we'll start switching over to probably a more digital collection.
So, okay, I have a question. Are you going to invite the alien invasion audience? Because they've been with you the entire way.
You know, that's very true.
Oh, live stream! And live stream!
Live stream the wedding. you know, we could probably make something work with that.
Yeah. I was just watching an episode of Big Bang Theory tonight, and Penny and what's his face? Eloped.
Sheldon? Or not Sheldon.
No, Leonard. Leonard.
Leonard.
They eloped in Las Vegas, and part of the package was the live stream. So continue. Wedding preparations.
Yeah, so we're going to be looking at venues on Tuesday. I've already asked Ben Olson to be the DJ.
Nice!
Yep.
Are you going to have Ritward von Durenberg come in and perform?
You know, if he's
actually
interested in flying from Germany.
Monkey Warhol would be a lot closer. He's from Minneapolis. Oh,
that's right.
Anything else?
Not really. Just kind of planning some stuff like replacing our front door and, you know, kind of house things that need to get done. So,
and you had some dental work done this week too.
Yeah, I had my very first root canal on Tuesday, 2 days ago. Not a horrible experience, actually. Of course, you know, when they get you in the chair and they've got your mouth like pried completely open, you know, the thing that hurts the most still is my jaw just being wrenched open that far. It's still, you know, it's still kind of hurting a little bit. But other than that, my tooth feels great. I can chew with the entirety of my mouth and not be in pain. It's wonderful. I'm so excited. Not to say that I would like to have a root canal like every month, but I'm not as afraid of it anymore, which, you know, that's all right too.
I've been very busy. Been working a lot. Today is my first day off in about a week and a half, I think. Yeah. I did mornings all last week, and then I did afternoons for part of this week while doing music. And then this weekend, I am doing my normal shift, and then what they call in the radio business, voice tracking for a different station.
Sure.
And I'm working all next week again. I think my next day off is at the end of August.
Oh, my.
Summer fun. Summer fun time. Fox doesn't know what to do with the Alien franchise anymore.
You know, I was saying just the other day that they should have let Neil Blomkamp, like, do what he wanted to do.
Yes.
And we wouldn't be here.
I think maybe they might go in that direction now. Okay, so it appears the future of the Alien franchise is once again uncertain. Anticipation was high for director Ridley Scott's return with 2012's Prometheus, and that kind of bombed, and then he came back with Alien Covenant this year. Prometheus actually did really well at the box office, $400 million worldwide, and this latest Alien film, not so much. It would it's actually only made $232 million. So, yeah, big drop for the franchise. So now, I guess there's word that Fox is kind of not sure what to do next, right? Like you said, Neil Blomkamp had that proposal to Fox before Ridley realized that his franchise might be taken away, or he might, you know, lose his grasp over the franchise with Neil coming in. So he, I think he kind of strong-armed Fox a little bit, convinced them that he could keep the train going down the track. So now Scott has made it clear that he has plans for somewhere between one and three more Alien sequels, but the Hollywood Reporter says that Fox is reassessing the two intended sequels that Scott had pitched to the studio. What that means is unclear, but Covenant certainly left things on a cliffhanger. If you've seen the movie, I've not seen it. Brad, you didn't see it either, right?
I did not.
Okay. Apparently, it leaves off with a cliffhanger. So if Ridley Scott doesn't get his way and, you know, get the next two or at least one sequels out, we may never know what happens next. And with the Blomkamp idea, he was going to blow out a couple of the Alien films. Was it 3 and 4, I believe?
Yeah, that sounds right. The proposal that we saw on the internet was that, I keep wanting to say Reese, but it's not Reese because that's Terminator.
Yeah, that actor. Yeah, the same actor.
The same actor was actually alive. He was his facially scarred pretty good, and Ripley was alive as well. So that would, you know, kind of do away with 3 and 4. So, mm-hmm. Well, it would at least do away with 4, or was it 3 in which she jumped into a thing and, you know, basically burned up because she was a clone? And
I think
was
that was 3. It was at the very end of 3 because she was pregnant with that alien.
Yeah. I think Neil Blomkamp should be able to pick up the baton and run with it because I think Ridley Scott is done with this now.
And Neil was like an Uber fan growing up. Like, it was his favorite franchise growing up. And he, like, wrote the script and had all these all this concept art. Like, he seemed really, really excited to make this film. And I felt so bad for him when I heard the news that they kind of put the kibosh on his idea in favor of Ridley Scott's. So I'm hoping, I'm just hoping that maybe they'll kind of see it his way. And realistically, you could do both, because, and I said this on a previous episode a long time ago, you could do the prequels and you could do the sequels, because the prequels come before the sequels. So the two, it could be in the, we're doing shared universes all the time now. Why not do an Alien shared universe? Right?
You're not wrong.
Okay. Best guess, what do you think is going to happen next?
I think, especially if Blade Runner makes a boatload of money, he will be in the driver's seat and be able to do whatever he wants to with Alien.
Okay, now I'm torn, because I want Blade Runner to do really well, but I want to see Blomkamp's Alien sequel. So I don't know what to think now.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. I'm making a guess here, but it just, given how things happen and seem to happen in Hollywood, that just seems to be how things just sort of work.
And Hollywood also likes familiarity. Like, they, Ridley Scott is a known entity, right? They know what he can do. Blomkamp, more or less, yeah, but not nearly. He doesn't have the gravitas that, hey, I just said a fancy word.
I know, it's an amazing word. Good on you.
Thank you. But Ridley has that certain respect in Hollywood. Like, he's got the production company and he's doing all these other things. He's known for this and that. So I think in the long run, they'll go with his, but I'm hoping, I've got my fingers crossed that they'll also give Neil a chance. Come on, what are you going to lose? What are you going to lose? If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
This is the portion of the show where we talk about people who have seen something. Could be aliens, or it could be just a light in the sky, or swamp gas.
Or swamp gas. You don't know. Now, this is an interesting one. I don't think that I've seen any reports from India.
No.
So I snagged this one and thought I would share it with the class, as it were. This particular sighting happened in November of 2011 in Pondicherry Union Territory, in India. Let's get right down to the details. As early as 3 a.m. on a certain morning in the month of November or December 2011, which I don't recall exactly how, I was awakened by the low murmuring sound of an airplane. As the sound continued for nearly 5 minutes, I was made curious and I stepped onto the balcony that faces west of my house to see what it is. In the dark sky, there was a crystalline object that was about slightly less than a foot long. It was in the shape of a concave lens. I stood there watching it, trying to confirm if the sound came from that object. It looked like a concave lens lit with a cluster of LED bulbs. It had very thin, fine lines that seemed to create nearly 5 segments on it. For witness sake, I woke my husband to see it. He too had witnessed what I did and agreed that the sound came from that. I had been out there for nearly 20 minutes altogether, and my husband felt a little anxious about leaving me alone to be out there. So we got back into our house. But the next day, when I reported this to my friends, they teased me and dismissed the whole story as a mere joke. But I am quite sure about what I saw that night, except that I had nobody to believe this. Since then, I've been trying to get in touch with Kandakala. Oh boy, I am so sorry if anybody from India or speaks Hindi. I'm going to butcher this.
I've looked at our demographics, and I don't think we have too many people that download the show from India. I could be wrong, though.
Here we go. Kandakala Veno Bapu?
It's close enough.
I apologize. Observatory here in India, and also another similar place too.
No, Brad, it's the yes. KVB Observatory.
It's okay. We'll do that. The KVB Observatory. Thank you. I sent them mails reporting this, but there has been no response. Though nobody else seems to have cited this here in Pondicherry, nor was there any report in the newspapers about this. However, that I saw something as strange as that is true, and the experience tells me that there is something more to it. Can a sighting be explained as a conventional man-made or natural object? Definitely none of these. It looked different from any of the above. Now, she is an assistant professor at the Department of English in Pondicherry at Pondicherry University, and her particular views are that she's heard of UFOs when she was 10, but now she's even more curious after this particular sighting. And in other comments on this forum is such a frank appeal that I had to include this. Please explain to me about what I saw. That she doesn't care about anything else. She just wants to know what the heck it was.
You know what I find interesting about reports from other countries and other cultures is the way they interpret it. Like, I think people that have grown up in other parts of the world, have different experiences, will perceive objects in the sky differently and have different points of references.
I have often said, and this is going to sound kind of maybe weird or vaguely pretentious, but, you know, everything that we do, everything that we experience and come to understand comes through the lens of perspective of past experiences, you know? So depending on, you know, where you are in the world, what access you have to technology or certain objects or concepts, there's going to be different ways of explaining even the simplest of objects. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
People with different worldviews or different levels of knowledge will look at the same object but describe it differently just based on their past experiences.
Like a Canadian may see something in the sky and describe it as a giant bowl of poutine, you know? That's just one example.
Look like a donut from the Timmy Hortons.
Perfect. No, it's Timbits. It's a bowl of Timbits in the sky. If you enjoy the Alien Invasion and would like to do more than just subscribe, download, and listen, please consider becoming a partner with us. It's very simple. Just go to GNCasts, that's GNCasts.com/support, and click on the Patreon link. We have different levels, most with a reward, like getting your name mentioned on our show, getting bonus podcasts, or even having a whole message read by one of us on an episode. There's also the very bare bottom level. You get no rewards, but at least you get the satisfaction of giving $1 a month. That's pretty cool. So again, go to gncasts.com/support. And we call you partners because that's what you are. You know, we're in this together. We're a community, right?
Absolutely we are.
Yeah, you're our partners in this. So if you feel like you want to do something more, go to that link, gncasts.com/support, and become a partner with the Alien Invasion. And I thank you for that. And Brad thanks you for that.
Heck yeah, I do.
The galaxy far, far away feels closer now than ever before, and your guides through this galaxy are ready to help. I'm Zach Hagenbusher, one half of the new Jedi Archives podcast with Ben Schultz. Join us every other Tuesday for our experiences with the Star Wars saga, from the core films that we know and love, well, you know, some of them, to the annals of history and the works that shaped Star Wars into what we know it as today. Just jump in wherever you'd like. Download an episode of the new Jedi Archives today.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we? You ready for picks
Absolutely,
and warnings?
Absolutely, we should.
Okay, these are things that we have watched, listened to, read, played, made, something other things with ED at the end. I can't think of right now. Anyways,
oh,
they're
boy.
All relating to extraterrestrials and aliens of some kind. My pick this week is an episode of Ancient Aliens. You know the one. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Oh, it's aliens.
Yeah. With the guy with the crazy hair.
Oh, yes.
I forget his name. It's hard to pronounce. It's Greek. Anyways, I was watching another show this week, a new one that I really enjoyed. It's called Evil Encounters. And
Ooh.
It's basically things like, well, on the latest episode, it was just like people's encounters with creatures in the woods. And the first episode was encounters with Bigfoot. And one of the things they brought up in this episode was, is Bigfoot an alien? Are the Bigfoots, are the Sasquatches aliens? And I wanted to find out the answer to that. So I found an episode of Ancient Aliens online and watched it today. It's called Aliens and Bigfoot. It's from season 4. I believe that's 2010. The episode examines the legends of Bigfoot, a creature described as half man, half ape, that allegedly stalks remote woodlands around the world, and suggests the creature may have connections to an alien species that may have visited Earth. And what their angle was, it was the Anunnaku.
And oh, okay.
I believe we talked about them, if not on the first episode of the Alien Invasion, one of the very first episodes. And apparently they used genetic manipulation to make this race of humanoids. I think it was kind of like a cross between them and humans. And it turns out that the end result was the Bigfoots, the Sasquatches.
And the Big Feet?
The Big Feet. Yeah, the creatures with the feet that are big.
Huge. Bigly.
So there's stories, legends from around the world of different types of Bigfoot. Like there's one in Florida called the Pigman or something. Not Pigman, something. I forget. There's an Asian version. There's an Australian version. There's all kinds of different versions of the Sasquatch from around the world. And what their argument is, again, it's a version of a creature that was made by this race of aliens early in Earth's history and in the development of the human civilization. Early on, the Anunnaki was kind of, they lived side by side with humans. They acted like gods, actually, to the humans. Sure. And they had these creatures that kind of did their bidding. And they gave examples on this episode of possible characters from history that might have been Bigfoot, like Goliath in the Bible was possibly a Bigfoot. Or Gilgamesh had a character in that ancient story that could have been a Bigfoot. And they also bring up the idea of Merlin might have been a Bigfoot. And what's that Norwegian explorer?
Leif Erikson?
Yeah, Leif Erikson. Thank you. Jesus. Leif Erikson, some of his reports from the creatures that he encountered sound very much like the Bigfoot. And some of the stories from people's encounters with Bigfeet.
You're welcome. That's,
damn it.
That's my fault.
Damn you, bird. No. They say that there's been a lot of reports of the Bigfoot just vanishing in front of the person's eyes. Like they have supernatural powers, or they have powers beyond humans or beyond what these creatures might be, like they're simian, they're possible cross between apes and whatever. And they're also hard to kill and hard to capture, because nobody's ever captured or killed, that we know of, a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch. So they're thinking that maybe they have abilities to disappear or go into a different dimension. That's why we never encounter them, because they live in this like alternate reality kind of thing, but alongside us at the same time.
Interesting.
Anyways, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. Ancient Aliens, Aliens, and Bigfoot. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Wow.
And it looks like your pick, it's something that I watched a long time ago, and there's a Neil Blomkamp connection.
There is.
Yeah.
I finally got around to watching Europa Report. It is a movie with Sholto Copley.
Yep.
And a very interesting film. Basically, it is the tale of like 5 or 6 astronauts who leave Earth, and they are heading to Europa with the purpose of gathering data to see if life exists, or if some of the building blocks for life exist. They want data. So this is like a 2-year mission of them flying into deep space and actually landing a capsule on Europa. As you can imagine, being on a ship like this, it's not going to be spacious. And the way they shoot it, the way they explain how they have some gravity in the portion of the ship and how everything sort of works. I mean, it really, I don't recall if they spoke with any scientists or I really had the feeling that they did, though. It just, the science felt very real. The movie is done as a found footage type film, and it seems to be almost like a documentary as to how this mission happened, what happened on that mission. I don't want to give away too much, but obviously because I'm talking about this show on the alien invasion, yes, there are aliens involved. They do discover life. And they get a really, really good photograph of this life on the mission. It's about 2 hours, maybe a little over. What's really interesting about the film is the people in the relationships really seem genuine. And there's almost like some confession cam sort of stuff going on at certain times where you get a little bit of perspective of, you know, how people are mentally and where they are at the mission. And like I said, it's found footage, so it's not necessarily sequential. So yeah, the ending of the film is satisfying is a strong word, but it has a definitive close to it. And they, you know, sustained a tone, and it was very well done. I really enjoyed the film. And on our flying saucer scale of 1 to 5, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
All right. Very healthy. Yeah, that's a great score. Okay.
I enjoyed a lot about it. And you can tell that it was shot. Well, this film was released in 2013, and we have come to find out a bit more. So unfortunately, some of the science doesn't quite match up to what we know now, but it's still a good film nonetheless.
And to explain the Neil Blomkamp connection, Charlton Copley is an actor in this film, and he's in almost every single Neil Blomkamp film. He was in District 9, he was in Chappie.
Yep.
I'm sure
they are very good friends and they help each other out.
So if there is an alien film directed, produced by Neil Blomkamp, I'm sure Charlton Copley will be in it in some way, some form or fashion.
Almost a given.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Brad. To review, our picks this week was Ancient Aliens, Aliens and Bigfoot, and The Europa Report. We'll put the links to both in the show notes.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
So that's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol, a.k.a. Brad's future music at his wedding provider, maybe. I don't know. Along with Ben. They can do a dual thing or something.
There we go.
He provides our intro music, song called Alien Syndrome. You can find it at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also to Retward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at The Caravel. The Caravel, thecaravel.net. And finally, thanks to Ben Olson for for recording our disclaimer audio at the start of the episode, benolson.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Until next time, final thoughts, Brad.
Going to be seeing Valerian tomorrow evening.
I sense a pick in our future.
I think so.
All right. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for next time. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncast.com.